Hey everyone, my name's Nick Brandt. I'm one of the senior leaders here at Circa Riders. I want to welcome you to the Circa Rider podcast. If you don't know us, we're a YWAM missional community based here in Huntington Beach, California. Our passion is Jesus. Our mission field is our generation, and we believe our opportunity is now. I want to sincerely thank you for being a part of our broader community. Enjoy this podcast.
Can you turn to your neighbor and just give him a compliment? Just the best one you got. Just go ahead and unleash a compliment on your neighbor tonight. Look to the other neighbor and say, I love you too. I have a compliment for you at the end of tonight. Why don't you just say it's coming after the talk tonight. It's a lot of love, man, back there. Thank you so much. Look at that. Men who lead right there. Well, tonight, guys, I'm excited to continue in this series on really starting our year with momentum in the things of God. You know, for me, I love the New Year's. Like, I got a giant calendar out. I go through my entire life. I audit it. I look at fun things I want to do. I get new vision. I get new excited. I'm like a visionary type person. So I use any excuse that kind of gives me a permission to dream new things up. I do that on my birthday. I do that on New Year's. I do that on my wife's birthday. I'm like, it's your birthday. You know, it's our anniversary. I just make up things to have new vision. But here's the thing. Every new year, we really do have an opportunity to have a different year. And a lot of us, I don't know if this is like you, maybe you're old enough to have at least a friend like this, it's like their life is in a constant Groundhog's Day. Every Christmas, it's the same conversation. Every Thanksgiving, it's the same conversation. Some of you have gone on from high school to college. You're living your freshman year, your sophomore year, you're learning, you're growing, you're having new experiences, right? You go back to kick it with all your buddies from high school, and you realize they're still talking about the glory days. They're kind of still keeping tabs on the Instagram of what everyone's doing, and they got the drama, and they got the tea, and you're kind of like, well, this is distance in our relationship because I'm growing, and you're not growing. The reality of what we want to talk about tonight is this thing that if you want a new outcome, you need to become a new person. If you want to have a different 2026, if you want your life to have a different story this year, it's not just a better strategy. It's not just increasing your prayer life. It's not just doing a Bible shred for the first 30 days of January. It's actually much harder than that. You need to become a new person. Now, I know circumstances, there are difficult moments in life. We cannot control everything in our life, but how many of you know there's a lot in our life that we can control? We may not be able to control what happens in our life in every arena, but we can control how we react to everything that happens in our life in every arena. And so tonight, though, I don't want to just focus on what are you going to do, what's your strategy, what's your action plan. I want to focus on something that I think is even deeper than that. It's this. What inner voice are you going to allow you, or are you going to allow to lead you this year? You know, I heard this once, that 90% of our life is a conversation in our head. Most of our daily experience is not a long monologue, is not even a conversation with a friend, it's up here. And if you're like me sometimes, I don't even want to have the conversation with myself in my head. That's why we doom scroll. Right? No, it's not a rebuke, that's like a confession, right? Like, I guess we can just all, like, do you do this? I do this, like, how many of you, it's hard to be in silence? Like, you have a playlist for everything. Anyone else have a playlist for everything? I think this year on my Spotify Wrapped, I had over 300 genres I listened to this year. Because I just got music playing in the car, I got a podcast playing when I sleep. I got a podcast playing when I'm going to get dressed. Then I go there and I go on a walk. I mean, everywhere I have all these different things distracting me. I'm focused on all these new strategies and actions and ideas, but I don't slow the car down once in a while and go, what is the inner voice that is actually driving me? I think it's weird. Most of our conversation in America is about external things, right? What kind of life can I live? What's my standard of living? What am I going to drive? How much money can I make? Where am I going to live? It's about experiences. What are things I want to do? Where are places I want to go? Where are the relationships what's the relationship I'm looking for? Where is it? God, I'm praying my man in. I'm praying my woman of God in. God, where's my friendships? Where's my posse? Where's my squad? And it's so weird how we get focused on external things, even when you hear people talk about who they want to marry. It's never about what they want to bring to the relationship. No, that's not a rebuke either. That's a confession. Now, you all just think we're equal in this tonight. Like, you videotape my early 20s, I just knew everything I was looking for, right? You know, hey, it's slim pickings out here. I'm waiting for this. Versus like, you know, like I'm looking for the perfect movie, but I'm like a bad B movie, Sharknado type of person. B actor, not quite the looks, not quite the charisma, certainly no paycheck to really, one great day, you know. And so a lot of us, we're focused on these external things because those are easier things. They don't cost us to deal with the pain in our life. Whenever you turn internal, you actually have to deal with real stuff. I remember a leader challenged me one day to go be silent for an entire day. I think I made it 20 minutes. Because I just started feeling so bad. Like, this was like how it went. Can I just reenact it? God, I'm here for you in the silence. I'm thinking this, right? Because I can't talk. I'm just narrating my mind. Here for you in the silence. You are here with me. Feeling anything. Oh man. God, I probably haven't been doing what I should be doing. My bad, God. All right, you're here with me. Man, there's a lot I've not been doing, God. My bad. I'm super sorry about that. And I'm hungry. What? Oh, I'm sorry, God. I'm supposed to be thinking about you right now. You right now. I'm just here with you in this moment. Oh man, God. But I'm really hungry, God. Like, I really should have eaten before I did this. And how far away is this on my phone? I shouldn't have my phone out. God, I'm sorry. The phone's back in there. God, I'm a journal. Oh, man, this reminds me that I never journal. I'm so sorry, God. I only have one entry in this journal. I never journal, God. And I'm going to open up my Bible. And wait, there's no highlighter marks anywhere. I never read my Bible. God, I'm so sorry. Like 20 minutes of this, I'm so guilty. I'm just like, hey, that's for different personalities. That's good. I'm going to go do stuff. I'm going to go get after it right now. You know, that's for introverts. I'm an extrovert. I got to get out of here. But here's the thing. You can gain all the perfect strategies and you can actually have a very successful life. You can get married and find a great person, yet live a very unhappy life. Just because you can figure out the externals of your world doesn't mean that you're actually going to find what you're looking for. How many of you have ever seen someone in a miserable marriage? And you made it. Don't raise your hand. All right. There's a live stream in here, people. All right. Aunt Susie. No, not, please, chill. Right. How many of you know someone who's making more money than you and they're always complaining about their job? How many of you know someone, they have a nicer car than you, but they're always talking about the next car they really want to get? How many of you, this is the worst, how many of you know the friend that never works, is always resting, but is always tired? So tired, man. What'd you do? Ascended the bowels of Minecraft this morning in my parents' basement. You know, it's just... So in many ways, when we come to the new year, we always think, I need to do more this year. What more do I need to do? But if we really want to change, we actually have to change the inner conversation that we're having with ourselves. If we really want a new direction, that negative self-talk, that tormenting version of you, that mean version of you, that voice in your head has to go. I remember watching this TV show, and it's an entrepreneurship show, and this really successful entrepreneur says to this young entrepreneur and says, you know what, I'm not going to invest in your business because you don't have a chip on your shoulder. And I only invest in people's businesses that have a chip on their shoulder. And my whole life, I've been sticking it to my ex-spouse. And that's what motivates me, that the belief that I'm not good enough, and I'm going to prove them I am good enough. Isn't that so sad that you can go on to have all that success and you believe the only way that you can access that passion is through negative self-talk? The only way you can access that kind of energy to move life forward is through hating yourself. I mean, right now, I don't want to get too deep, but too late. I wonder if I could just, like, you know, get like one of those Neuralinks. You know what I'm talking about? Little pre-order moment. Install it in one of your brains tonight. And we could listen to your thought life. All of you are like afraid, like, about thoughts you've had. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm just so sorry. But I don't want to talk about mean thoughts you have about other people. I want to talk about for a moment, what are the mean thoughts you're having about yourself? I meet so many young people, they just feel disconnected. They feel lonely. It's weird. They even have friends. But they say they have no friends. They're surrounded by people. They'll come to something like this. They go, I'm just so lonely. I'm so lonely. It's because all their communication is not vulnerable. It's all through text and DM, and they're with each other, but they never talk about anything. Guys, you know what I'm talking about? You know, we can have a whole day together, and we really didn't say anything. How many guys do this? You hang out with your friends and have the same conversation you had last time. The same argument. Kobe's better than LeBron. No, he's not, bro. You're foolish. You're foolish. And we'll do that for an hour and be like, man, good to see the boys. What? It's like we're watching the same TV show on repeat over and over and over again. But see, your inner voice is not just about the quality of your life. It's about the direction of your life. Proverbs 4:23 says this, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. In the ancient context, the heart was like the control center for the persons, whether your thoughts, your emotions, your mind, your thought processes would be going. So in another way, it's like saying this, guard your inner voice above all else, for it will determine the course of your life. Luke 6:45, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. And it's not just what we say to others, it's what we say to ourselves. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I'm telling you, for so many of you, this is a year that God's intention for you is to be like no other. I cannot guarantee you it will be a good year on paper. I cannot guarantee you that this is the year that you make. I don't have one of those prophecies like, you're going to make the most money with the best job, and you're going to find your spouse, and all your friends are going to love you, and your family's going to unite and never fight again, and every painful person in your life that's toxic all of a sudden will be healed by a podcast and come back to you and say, thank you, dear one. I love you. Here's a Nobu gift card. I can't promise you any of that, but I can tell you this. I believe that God wants to change the conversation you have with yourself and God wants to change the conversation you are having with him. And when you're in the right conversation with yourself and you're in the right conversation with God, it doesn't matter if you have to walk through hell this year. It doesn't matter if on paper this is going to be the hardest year of your life or the most challenging year of your life or the most stretching year of your life. You will look back on this year and see so much meaning, so much purpose, experience so much love that you will say this is a better year than a year where you had everything. But you still were not having the right conversation with God. And you were still stuck in an old, painful conversation with yourself. I want to look at a character in Scripture tonight. His name is Gideon. He's in the book of Judges. And I want to look at him as a case study of what happens when we really begin to decide to believe God over believing what we believe about ourselves. When we really start receiving God's identity for real. Now, if you don't have any background in reading the Scriptures, it's in the Old Testament, and the book of Judges is basically this. God's people, Israel, keep worshiping other idols, going astray. Even though God keeps pouring out mercy and doing miracles, they keep going the wrong way. And so God has to raise up these leaders called judges that come back and align the people back to God's highest intention. If you got your Bible, we're starting in Judges 6, starting in verse 1. The story picks up. It says, "The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, so the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying crops as far as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, goats, cattle, and donkeys. These enemy hordes, coming with their livestock and tents, were as thick as locusts. They arrived on droves of camels, too numerous to count, and they stayed until the land was stripped bare. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. When they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites, and he said this, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you the land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live. But you have not listened to me.'" The place that Israel finds himself is a place of being absolutely overrun and overwhelmed. See, unfortunately, a lot of us don't change the way we think until we have been overrun. Israel is reduced to starvation. They have no other option. Their options are out. All their self-will is gone. They come to a place of brokenness and they finally say, "God, I need you to show up." And I don't know what it is in me and maybe what it is in you that I don't like to change unless pain forces me to change. How many of you are that way? You say you don't want to learn the hard way, but when you look back at your life, you always learn the hard way. Can we just do an altar call so I feel less lonely up here? Does anyone else, like, you just are a doctorate in the hard way? Anyone else besides me? Is just everyone else not learning, or what's the podcast? Give the recommendations at the end of the night. They're a place of being overwhelmed. I think this is a picture of so many of us. Some of us are overwhelmed, truthfully, Monday through Sunday. You get brief reprieves after a Monday night. You get brief reprieves on a Sunday. You get brief reprieves from a leader encouraging you. But most of the time, your inner experience is up and down, up and down. And I don't want to pick on you if you're like Gen Z, but I'm going to pick on you for a little bit of a moment. And this is what I want to say, because I want you to see that this doesn't have to be normal for you. Even some of the people I work with that I love dearly, it's amazing how one thing can send them into a spiral. I think that's where the term crashing out comes from. We didn't have that as millennials. We just blew up eventually, but we didn't crash out. We just totally exploded eventually. But your generation is a little bit different. You can be rolling forward and you can be crashing out. You can have a bomb breakfast burrito at 9 a.m., but by 3 p.m., my life is going nowhere. Emo vibes are coming on. Emo songs are coming on. Doom scroll is taking place. Passive aggressive texts are being sent. The emoji that everyone knows what it means is being sent. Bro, you always send this one. Why are you sending this one? What's going on? Like, we have so many weird things that we do. But can I tell you that you don't have to be like me? You don't have to learn the hard way. You don't need to be like me and live an up and down life all your early 20s into your late 20s. That there's a different way for you to live, rooted in who God says you are, that gives you resilience to move through the inevitable disappointments and setbacks that life is going to bring you. Your life does not need to be Six Flags. It does not need to be those tormenting roller coasters. How many of you like those things? Raise your hand. I'm gonna pray for you. I don't know what's going on at that place. I'm a Disney roller coaster guy. I need smiling characters looking at me to comfort me as I go through the roller coaster. I'm not saying you're not going to have ups and downs, but what I'm saying is we got to move out of this extreme. I'm crashing out. I'm high on life. Everything is amazing. Everything is terrible. We have to come into a new inner voice. Now, this is the epic part about God. I love that God does not wait for us to get anything together. Literally, the Israelites have not even repented yet of worshiping idols. They have completely crashed out. They are in their lowest place. And who shows up? God. This is the good news of the gospel. That there is no pre-work that you need to do tonight for God to enter the conversation. There is no pre-work that you need to do for God to completely rewrite the script of what he's doing in your life. Verse 11 says, then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the clan of Abiezer. Is there any Abiezers in here tonight? Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Don't you love God? God is completely on a different wavelength than you and me. You would think that if you've been worshiping idols, completely gave up all the calling that God promised you, were operating in total disobedience, and now we're covered in fear, that God would show up and go, hey, we got to talk. Because that's what we do, right? Your friend makes you mad. You go talk to your friend and you're like, yo, what's up, man? What's up with you? What's wrong with you? You got to stop this. You're bothering me. You're ticking me off. God shows up, who he has all the dirt to confront, and goes, hey, mighty warrior, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. What is it in us that when we think about God and hearing from God, that we immediately go, it's going to be a correction? What is it in us that immediately goes to assuming that God has the worst thing to say to us? See, some of you think you need a better discipline to be in your quiet times. But if your view of your quiet time is going to be a beat down of all that you're not doing, and it's going to be a conversation of all that you aren't, and it's kind of like going to an after-school meeting with that mean teacher who has it out for you. And that's what your quiet time is. No wonder you're not reading your Bible. If your first thought about prayer is, I don't pray enough. Oh, God, my bad. I'm so sorry. You must be frustrated. I'll pray more. And we kind of have this view that God is just mad at us. And then we promise that we're going to do better. And then we don't do better. And then we hide. But isn't God so good? Gideon's hiding, and who shows up? God. See, God wants to transform the inner conversation with you. What would happen is I say, hey, we're going to go talk to Jesus. And you go, man, I wonder what he's going to say. Dude, I wonder what he's going to say today. This is going to be awesome. I'm going to experience his love. I'm going to experience his identity. God has something positive to say, something positive to download, something positive to impart. See, we got to understand that when God even comes and deals with sin, that's not the end of the road. God's goal for you is not for you just to stop sinning so he can put up with you. God is removing sin out of your life so he can restore you back to your original design. He's coming in your room and he's like, hey, you got to quit looking at this stuff. It's killing you. It's not because he's angry at you and wants to condemn you and wants to shame you. It's because that thing is killing you, separating you from him, separating you from others, separating you from yourself. See, what we got to realize is that when Jesus shows up, he's coming to restore. He's coming to call us up and out. He's calling us forward to a life that many of us have never imagined for ourselves. If you would have told me, man, when I was 18, what I would be doing in 2026. The whole trend right now, what you were doing in 2016. If you came to me and you went crazy, you were like an Old Testament prophet. You're like, your name is Nick Brent. This is your social security code. This is your phone number. This is your address. This is your middle name. This is your password to Facebook and Instagram. And a new social media platform that hasn't even come out yet. Like, you went, read my mind and go, this is what your 2026 is going to look like. I wouldn't have believed you. There's got to be something in all of us tonight that shifts. And we see that God is a good God. That we have to be ruled by his goodness, not just his holiness. Goes on. Don't you love, this is what we do. Ready for this? God, how many of you get like really uncomfortable when you get encouraged? Kind of like right now, y'all getting really quiet. Like I'm telling you, you're doing a good job and you're all like, I am. Tell me it's not true. Like right now, if I start going, you know what? You all need to do a better job. Get it together. Somebody be like, amen. That's it. That's it, bro. That's so good. You don't see God as valuable. Get on your knees, little boy, and start praying this year and become a man. And some of you are like, that's it. I'm a warrior. What is it in us when God says anything positive? Just like shifty business starts taking place in our hearts. Men are so bad at receiving encouragement. Any men agree? It's like, how many of you men, I read this study, okay? It said that men have a hard time if they have to talk to each other and look in each other's eyes. So they work on things and they stand next to each other and talk. That's when they really open up. That's why I don't want to get coffee with you. It's weird. Like, brother, you know, just like, you know, like, I don't know. I'm just not ready for that kind of vulnerability. It takes me a lot to do that with my wife. Like, I don't know that I can do that with you. But if we can just go like stand there, sit next to each other and watch a game, I can just, hey bro, let's just keep eyes on the screen, but I just want you to know that. See, Gideon's about to do what we all do, deflect. Some of us are professional Christian deflectors. Some of you may not have given your life to Jesus. Some of you may be new to faith, but if you get around someone who's been born in the church, we have all these church phrases to deflect encouragement and good news. You did a great job tonight. No, I didn't. God did. Bro, I read Revelation. I don't think God was like literally playing the guitar. I think you did, and it was a really good job. You did a good job. Hey, I want you to know you're a good person. No, I'm not. I'm a filthy sinner. But by the grace of God. Now, what about all like that? I know it was grace, like you're cooperating, like you're killing the flesh. No. No. Shh. Right? Like. And then a bunch of us were always going like, no, you. No, you. Bro, the way that you have literally championed your spouse, No, you, I'm single, bro. You can't do that back. I'm not married yet. Why are we professional deflectors? Gideon's about to deflect. He says, sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites? He deflects. He blames. He finds a reason. He lawyers up. God, no, mighty hero, I'm not even gonna acknowledge you said that. It wasn't even a thank you. Oh, like, thanks, God. That's super nice. He immediately launches into all the reasons that cannot be true. I think a lot of us are actually very polite, so we will agree with our mouth, but we will already, by the time we get home, argue ourselves out of the positive truth that we just heard. I looked at a guy, and I just said one time, like, he had his bros, and they were actually like a healthy friendship, and they would encourage him. He's like, I just always feel discouraged. And I'm like, when is the last time, like, you actually received the positive thing your bro said to you? Well, never. No wonder. See, if you want to change the conversation in your mind, you need to know you have a professional lawyer on retainer up here. And every time that God is coming to reveal his goodness, you're like, no, not for me, God. Everyone else is forgiven. And it's weird. That's why when our friends call us and they're doing bad, it's so easy for us to go faith mode. Let me tell you. You know what? You said the most horrible thing ever, and you actually did do that? I just want you to know, God is here right now, brother. And he loves you, and I'm here for you. And he's going to forgive you, and everything's going to be okay. He's going to redeem the situation. You do a little thing that no one even knows about. Only your perfectionistic self. And God's like, I love you, want to be with you. You're like, no, you don't. You're just saying that. Like, it's, what is that? But don't you love Jesus? He goes deeper. He just ignores him. He just ignores the lawyer. He's like, yeah, all right. Says, then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I'm sending you. Doesn't even answer any of the complaints. Just keeps drilling identity into him. And here comes the truth. After all the blame, all the lawyering, the real truth comes forward. Gideon says this. How can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh. And I am the least in my entire family. See, the inner voice that was dominating Gideon was insignificant. God, I got nothing to show for it. And if we're honest, if you look at his past, they've been completely dominated. If he's saying, I'm actually, we're the weakest tribe, he's saying, God, you don't know where I'm from. Like, I'm not like from a functional part of Israel. Like this is not a place you want to grow up in. Like, there's brokenness all around here. And in that whole tribe, I am the least. I am the most forgotten. And I'm over here, the exact opposite of a mighty warrior, hiding in a hole, so afraid that I don't even want to acknowledge that you said mighty warrior. See, a bunch of us tonight, whatever that inner voice is of insignificance that yells at you day and night, and you maybe even have a past to back it up. You maybe even have experiences to back it up. You may even have direct quotes of things that people said to you to back it up. Jesus is confronting that voice, and he's saying, that voice is not from me. That voice is not from me. That voice is not the Holy Spirit. That voice is not in line with Scripture. That voice is not going to yield fruit. That voice is not going to make you more holy. That voice is not going to make you more bold. That voice is not going to lead you to the calling or to the future that I have for you. See, tonight, some of us, we have to awaken that this inner voice that comes from pain and sin and brokenness all mashed together is like a gnarly bully. I just wonder how much of last year you spent feeling behind. I'm just wondering how much of last year did you spend in anxiety? I'm wondering how much of last year did you spend replaying conversations that you had with people, calling yourself stupid for something you said? How much of last year was you projecting what other people think of you? How much of last year was you filling in the blanks around maybe your friends or family who don't say anything, and they aren't not even saying something negative to you. You're just reading their mind and just filling in the blanks that they must be thinking something negative of you. See, if you're living with that, that heaviness is ruling in your mind day in and day out, no wonder you're crashing out. Some of you feel so burned out. You're not burned out from work. You're not burned out from doing hard things. You were made to do hard things. Work was here before the garden. You got to get 8 hours of sleep. But you have a lot of capacity in your heart. Here's what I'll tell you will burn you out if every day you feel you're not measuring up. If every day you finish a day of hard work and you still feel behind. If every day you end with comparison, why am I not here? Why am I not doing this? I should be over here. What's wrong with me? Why don't I have that and they have that? What do they have that I don't have? Well, if you lived with that inner voice ruling your life every day, you would be burned out. See, this is a year where you need to realize that if you want to go to war for a new year, you got to go to war on that negative voice. And that negative voice, guess what? It isn't just you. The scripture tells us that the devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy. You don't understand that, yes, pain is informing that inner voice. Maybe some of our brokenness is informing that inner voice. But you better believe that the enemy is afraid of the moment you actually believe God, who he says you are. Some of you in this place, you have the most spectacular future. You are the most spectacular, amazing human being. There is so much ahead of you, and the devil is working overtime. Overtime, afraid that you might rise up and go, I'm being bullied, and I'm going to do something about this voice. It goes on. Gideon replies, I love this. So honest. I love how the scripture is so honest. The grace of God. Because if you are truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that this is really the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back. I'm going to bring my offering to you. Stay here until I return. He goes and he gets some food and he brings it back to the Lord. And he puts it on this altar. And the angel of the Lord is there. It's okay. It's just a baby, guys. I have one at home. How many like to have kids one day? That's just a preview of your every waking moment. It's beautiful. Mom, dad, whoever you are back there, I'm with you and I'm in the fight. I may not sleep tonight. We'll see how my kids do. But he comes back and he brings his food and he puts it before the Lord. And don't you love the Lord? It starts on fire out of nothing, out of a rock, and the Lord disappears. And Gideon has this realization. Oh my word, I'm talking to God. I think we have this moment all the time. Do you ever have moments where you're praying and then all of a sudden you have the realization, I'm talking to God? Like you're talking to God, but then you have the realization, like, I'm talking to God. Capital G-O-D, creator of the universe. Gideon says this. I love this. Oh, sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord says, it's all right. Do not be afraid. You will not die. See, the first thing that happens in Gideon's life that begins to change him, and he does go on to become a mighty warrior, and he does go on to liberate Israel. The first thing that begins to change the inner voice in his life is God's voice takes the proper seat. See, the more you give value to a voice, the more you listen to it. The more value you give to something, the more authority you give it to speak into your life. That's why when someone sees you at the store, they're like, hey, nice outfit. You're like, whatever. But then your best friend can go, bro, you are epic. And they're like, bro, please, like, don't. And they can go, hey, look at me. Look at me. I'm your best friend. You have been a jerk. But you've overcome that, and now you're a great dude. And you're like, okay, bro, I receive it. That felt good. Thank you. Like, they have a different authority. Their words carry a different weight. How many know that no matter how old you are, we all kind of care about what our parents think? You're like, I'm a 25-year-old man. But your mom can be like, get it together. Like, man, my life, like my mom, like, gotta make her proud. People that we care about, that we give the most value to, we put their voice at the top of how we think about ourselves. The first step, if you want a new year, you need to put God's voice at the very top. Let's translate that practically. You have to put what Scripture says about you above every other voice. Not just a prophetic word, not just a prayer moment, not just an encouragement from a spiritual leader. I am talking, you have to put Scripture as the number one thing in your life. And so many of us have ceded that voice to people that don't deserve to have that place in your head. Some of you are still talking to people who hurt you 5 years ago. You're still talking to people that hurt you 10 years ago. Some of you are having conversations with people in your school that you've never had a conversation with. Some of you are talking to your teachers, your professors, your bosses, your coworkers. How many of you ever have gotten caught having a fake conversation in your head? So embarrassing. How many of you have done it publicly? You're mad, you couldn't come up with a comeback in the moment, or you were too scared to say it. Later, you thought about the moment, you got angry, and you're like... I remember one time you're on the street, I was like, having some kind of golem type conversation. I remember people looking at me weird, like they felt unsafe around me. I'm like, I'm super nice, like what's going on? Only to realize I'm so seething angry, I'm having a fake conversation, you know, basically roasting someone that's not even there. See, whatever that voice is of painful experiences from your past, where people literally said deeply painful things to you, you are not enough. I think my wife would be fine with me saying this. Last night, we actually went a little date night. Thank God for date night. And went to this conference this weekend. And the speaker there called me out when I asked the question. He kind of like leaned in on me a little bit. And he goes, can I say something I'm noticing about you? He doesn't know me at all. And he kind of laser beamed me, like in front of everybody. I asked him a question. He just goes, well, I think sometimes you're really hard on yourself. And you don't actually believe that you're actually a good person doing a good job. And I was like, move on, please, move on. And he starts going deeper. He goes, you just measure yourself because you're a visionary person. You measure yourself like a perfectionist all the time. You always see the ideal version of yourself you could be. You always see the ideal future you could have. And so you always feel behind and you never feel good enough. I'm just like, all right, time out, time out. Like, I'm down. I'm tapping. Let's be done. And so I call my wife at the break and I go, dude, this voice of perfection has been killing me. I never rest and just feel I'm doing a good job fully. I always feel like God's a little frustrated with me when I'm really being honest down there. I go, I got to get rid of that in 2026. And my wife was like, man, it's so good. I'm cheering you on. And last night I go on the date night. My wife's looking at me and she goes, dude, I think I got something coming for it. I'm like, what's going on with you? She goes, I don't know what it is. I just have these memories as a kid still coming forward that I'm never going to measure up. And it's so embarrassing. I've done so much and that voice is still killing me. And sometimes I just feel like I lose my confidence and maybe I'm really doing a bad job. And I just live all day like, man, I stink, I suck. And I'm not going to be able to really measure up. See, for so many of us in here, you might have these painful experiences. I got all kinds in my past. People may have said terrible things to you, or maybe people didn't say anything at all and it left a void that the enemy filled in the blanks for you. But the only way that you can be healed is if you let God's voice take precedent over that voice. You got to end the battle that God's voice and your voice are the same. And you need to actually receive the goodness of God. See, I think this is what happens in our generation. We have these conversations about truth versus feelings. And we go, you need to just believe the truth. Don't worry about your feelings. I think it's a little different than that. I think truth is what actually drives our feelings. And I think the lie that our generation has bought in, that we bought into, is that if we feel it, it must be true. I think that's why we crash out. We feel a little bit of negativity and we immediately go, this is true. We feel like we're doing a bad job and we immediately go that it's true. And all the old stories of our past are coming up, and all the same talk tracks have beaten ourselves up in our minds, and all the negative talk comes swarming back into our mind. But you need to realize that just because you feel it doesn't mean it's true. We experience this all the time. How many of you ever thought your friend was mad at you, but they actually weren't mad at you? Does anyone else have an embarrassing story? Like, how many of you, come on, real altar call here. All right, here we go. Everyone has to, popular poll, everyone has to participate. How many of you have been bothered for a whole day thinking your friend was mad at you, only to realize the next day they weren't even thinking about you? Like, they literally had zero problem with you. Anyone else here? Your feelings led you to feel something that wasn't true. How many of you felt that a girl was interested in you? And you're like, hey, dinner. And they're like, no. Friends. Vice versa. You felt something, but it wasn't true. In the same way, what we have to replace is that we got to realize that we got to check our feelings this year. And you need to check your feelings with the truth of Scripture. And three things I want us to keep an eye on. Number one, your identity. Here are some negative things. This is the question, like, right? Who are we? Statements like this: I know God loves people, but I don't feel lovable. I believe I'm a son or a daughter, but I feel like a disappointment. Others seem chosen, I feel replaceable. If I were really secure, I wouldn't struggle like this. I don't see anything special about me. I'm behind everyone else. I'm too much or I'm not enough. I don't really belong here. This year, when these thoughts come, we got to check that. You're sitting in here like, I don't belong in here. Everyone's probably way ahead of me in here. Who do I even talk to in here? I got to get out of here. You feel that, but is that true? Chances are you talk to anyone in here, their life looks very similar to you. You're not behind. You're right on time. We can't believe all that social media curates what people's lives look like. Remember, it's curated. It's the best moments of their life, not their actual life. For example, don't judge couples now, but there was a study that came out that said the more a couple posts about both of them, usually the more conflict they are in behind the scenes. Think about that. Get back to me. Forgiveness. I've asked for forgiveness, but I still feel dirty. God might forgive me, but I can't forgive myself. If people knew what I think about, they wouldn't see me the same. I should be further along by now. I keep messing up. So God must be tired of me. I don't deserve to be used until I fix this. This struggle disqualifies me. What if this year was a year of just like quick forgiveness and receiving quick forgiveness? God, I'm gonna forgive that person. I'm gonna receive your forgiveness right now. Boom, new day, new start. Mercies are new every morning. I'm going to war today. That's all right. I stumbled yesterday, but my head's up. I'm heading out to the battlefield. I'm not gonna stumble today. I got mad, acted foolish yesterday, but today's a new day. I'm gonna go apologize, go humility mode, go make that right. I'm gonna put the armor of God on. I'm gonna go out and fight another day today. Versus 2 months of feeling terrible, waiting for a sermon at Monday night about sin, you coming to the front and go, There's darkness in my life. What is it? I can't even say it's terrible. What did you do? I can't say. Pray for me. Like, it's just so weird. What if we just actually live this thing? Grab two of your sisters. Grab two of your brothers. Go, dude, I failed. Here's how I failed. I got to take it to the Lord. I got to get a new action plan. He forgives me. Let's go. What about your future and your calling? God calls people like them, not me. I don't know enough Bible yet. I'm not confident or bold enough. Others are more spiritual, more gifted, or more qualified. I'll say yes once I'm healed. I'll step out when I feel ready. I'll mess it up. I'll fail. I'll let people down. Dude, this year, we got to check those thoughts and we got to check those feelings. None of those statements are from God. None of those statements are helping you. None of those statements are serving you. The negative self-talk is only keeping you from living in what God has for you. Instead, we got to rise up this year. I don't feel connected to God. How about Isaiah 43:1? But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. God, you call me by name. Literally, I am yours. You are with me. I am connected to you. How about I'll never be forgiven? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm not the type that God uses. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel, the power of God who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. This is a year to let God's voice shape your inner conversation. See, when you get around God and you start believing him, dude, life is so fun. You get so grateful. You get grateful for a simple life. If you live in a nasty studio apartment, in the bushes, man, wherever, just inland, right? Just so hot, no AC, no Wi-Fi, you're borrowing your neighbor's Wi-Fi, you went over to a party just to figure out the password and you've been using it. I'm telling you, and you work at an entry-level job and your boss isn't going to see you for another year and a half before the promotion you want is coming. I am telling you, if you can change that inner conversation, dude, life becomes so fun. Your boss is like a mean jerk, and all of a sudden you're like, well, you know what? I'm going to work for you like I work for God. I'm going to love you. I think you're talking to me because you have a negative inner voice. Oh, wait. You just talk to me like you talk to yourself. Oh, snap. I'm going to talk to you with my inner voice until it changes your inner voice. All right, boss. Like, my whole life, when I worked at places, my job was to find the grumpiest people and just encourage them. I'd be like, what's up? I wouldn't be like weird. Don't be like the weird Christian, like, I love you. You know, like, that's like, that doesn't work in real life, right? Hi. You know, be normal. They'd be like, hey, literally enjoy being on shifts with you. When's the last time they heard that? See, when you start getting plumb line, your life starts coming into alignment. You start living in your identity. You start living, feeling connected and forgiven by God, and you start having hope for your future. So many of you feel so behind tonight. Stop. You're 21 years old. You're not 50. You're like, why am I not successful? Your brain's not even finished for 4 more years. Still growing, still developing. Some of you 30 years old, you're like, I've not made it. You literally are every other American. None of us have made it. Do we need to do like a house tour that all of us live in sheetrock palaces? We don't live in the supernova house. We're all grinding out. We're all going for it. We're all doing the best we can. Why not this year live in the love of God? Why not wake up and assume that God loves you? The band can come up. Here's my final point. But you don't just cement a new inner voice
through just thinking it out or declaring it out. How many of you have ever declared fear out of your life? Right? If fear is driving your inner voice, good chance it's not from God. In fact, I know it's not from God. But how many of you ever tried to like declare away fear? In Jesus' name, I rebuke fear. I am not afraid. Some of you done even crazy summer camp stuff. You write fear on a rock. Throw that into the lake, brother. Your fear is about to go. And you're like, I'm not afraid. You're like, right? How many of you have been to a men's time? And there was a brave heart clip, the freedom moment, right? How many, classic moment. And you've yelled freedom at the top of your lungs. Freedom! But the next day, you're still not free. The next day, you're still afraid. Here's what I love. It's not just enough to hear the truth. You got to act on it. Action is proof that you really believe it. Verse 25 says, that night the Lord said to Gideon, take the second bull from your father's herd, one that is 7 years old, pull down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it. Then build an altar to the Lord your God here on the hilltop sanctuary, laying the stones carefully. Sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering on the altar, using as fuel the wood of the Asherah pole you cut down. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord had commanded. But he did it at night because he was afraid of the other members of his father's household and the people of the town. I love this so much. Such a perfect picture. I love that Gideon acted. And here's the thing. You don't need to do it perfect. You just need to do it. Don't you love that he took action and it was bad action? A bunch of you this year need to take a bunch of imperfect action. How would you live this year, literally, if you actually believed that God was for you, that he was with you, and that God was literally driving you to your purpose and your calling? How would you live if you knew that when you walked into your workplace, it's a mission field in there, and there were people that God had sent you there to love, and you believe that? How would you live this year if every time you opened your word, it was like getting a call from God and his voice sounds like, oh, it's so good to be with you. So good to be with you. And you got up and literally, you did it imperfect. You read the whole chapter and you don't remember anything you read. You prayed and it was a terrible prayer. God, thank you so much for the sky. Thank you so much. I have breath in my lungs. Like, am I even thankful for that? I am thankful to be alive, yeah. This is a year for us to believe who God says we are, to check our feelings when it's leading us back down to the lies of the enemy. And this is a year not only to believe the truth, but to act on it. Can I give you three things that I think some of you need to take action on? I think a bunch of you, God has been speaking to you that you are a leader wherever you are. I think a bunch of you are part of churches and you're still not serving because you don't see yourself as a leader. I think this is a year where finally you just give in and God says, you are a leader, start leading. Well, who's going to follow me? Two guys, start there. That's how I started. That's how everyone starts. Some of you, like, literally, God's like, you have a voice. I want you to make some social media content this year. Talk about me. God, so cringe. How many of you have ever filmed yourself and then watched yourself and died 1,000 deaths? You're like, what's up, guys? God loves you. What are my hands doing? What's wrong? I never talk like that. But God's like, I told you have a voice. You're like, there's only 205 views. Well, that's like maybe like 200 people right here. It's a lot of people. He's like, be faithful with the little, bro. Be faithful with the little sister. Get out there. Come on. Get on it. I think some of you this year, God has told you that you need friendships that you need to run with. and literally you come to these things like Monday nights and you're like, vibey in here. Wow, cool. And you need to talk to people. And you need to do it imperfectly. What if I look stupid? What if you do? Isn't all friendships, isn't that how all of them form? Through stupid behavior and conversations? Hey, what's up, man? What's up to you? Where are you from? Here. Where are you from? Here. Dope. What brought you to Monday nights? God. What brought you to Monday nights? God. Nice. Going to Chick-fil-A after. You going to Chick-fil-A? In-N-Out. I'll go to In-N-Out. Is that cool with you? Perfect. Let's go there. Let's just keep doing this until it becomes normal. How many of you have been on a first date before? It's always awkward. So good to be here with you. Wow, this menu. Burgers. Get whatever you want. Actually, man, don't get whatever you want. Get something below $20. We got to believe what God says, and then we got to be willing to do it imperfect. We got to be willing to do it afraid. I love that literally Gideon grabs 10 guys in desert at night. If it takes you 10 guys to hype you up, if it takes your mama on FaceTime, and she's like, you can do it, son. Speak to the woman. Go over there. Hello, I'm Nigel, right? Like, I don't know what your name is, okay? This is how change happens. I wanted to end in a positive way tonight. This is good news. And you have everything it takes to crush this negative stuff. Can we all stand together? All right, turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and say, what's up? Say, hey, bro. Just bro with the girl, whatever you want to do. Everyone kind of bros each other now. It's kind of weird. But anyway, turn to them and say, can I be vulnerable for a minute? Okay. 30 seconds on the clock. I'm going to give you just 30 seconds. Play some really spiritual music up here. I want you to think for a moment. What is one negative thought pattern that you know you need to leave behind? Like tonight is like, boom. It's clean breakup. It's deleting the number. Don't call me again. You've been a terrible thought. I never want to have you again. What is one of those negative inner voices, those negative thought patterns that you know you need to leave behind tonight? All right, here we go. I'll let you think for a minute. Don't be like, oh no, oh no. You do know. All right, one person, raise your hand every group. One person, raise your hand every group. One person, every group. One person, raise your hand. All right, you're the leader. You go first. You got to go first. Start the vulnerability. I'm going to put 1 minute on the clock. What is that one thing that you need to leave behind? Tonight, we're declaring war on that thought. Okay, switch, 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 switch. What are you leaving behind? What voice are you leaving behind? Okay, final thing, final thing. What is one thing you can do in the opposite spirit? If you're going, dude, I'm breaking up with that negative thought. I'm not going to be ruled by that this year. What is one action you can take? That's the opposite of what that thought would usually lead you to do. What is the opposite action that you can start moving in a new direction tonight? When you think about it for a moment. Let the synth just kind of... yes, deep things are happening. All right. Just having some fun. Okay, one person raise your hand in the group. One person raise your hand in the group. All right, you're second this time, all right? You're second this time. So the other person goes first. 30 seconds. What is one action you can take to move in the opposite spirit of that negative thought? Switch if you haven't. Switch if you haven't. All right. Here's what I want to do. I want everyone to pray with me for a moment. Then we're going to sing one more worship song. And we're going to get out of here. Sound good? I want you to pray as we say, Jesus. Come on, pray it like you mean it. Say, Jesus, this year, we want your voice to be the loudest voice. Your word to be the loudest word. Jesus, I repent for any way I've come into agreement with lies. This year, Holy Spirit, expose lies and fill me with truth. Let's declare some truth. Say, Jesus, I declare I am loved and accepted by you. Jesus, I declare I am forgiven and washed clean in you. Jesus, I declare that my future is greater than my past. That you have so much in store for me. And I'm not behind. And I'm good looking. And I have a nice personality. And I dress cool. And I know all the good spots. Forgive me for gatekeeping. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.